And there are times where my heart is burdened to go back over some fundamental truth as a refresher course for the church, over some wonderful truth, some important truth to be functioning in the body of Christ. And this is one of those. I want to talk tonight about the hospitable church, about that grace, that call, that command of God for each one of us to be hospitable, to demonstrate hospitality, in other words. We're going to be looking at verses 9 through 13 with an emphasis on the last two words of verse 13. So if you have your copy of God's Word, open up with me in your Bible. Hopefully you're not one of those that turns it on an electric device, but I guess you got to do what you got to do. I'm old school. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. Not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer. Contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. This is a refresher for all of us. We've come through this great book together in the book of Romans, and having gone back and looked over the sermon that I preached over this verse, there was so much packed in the pericope that I didn't get to spend much time cultivating this tremendous statement where it tells and informs the church that we are, as believers, Christian people, to be practicing hospitality. It's to be understood that if we're to be practicing hospitality, it demands that we be denying ourselves, thinking of other people, and being purposeful in our heart to serve them. And I bring this up tonight because this is a great obstacle in many churches. My aspiration and desire is that Grace Life Church would become the most hospitable church in our community. And I believe that hospitality is proportionate to our being led of the Spirit of God and our maturing in the grace of God. As Christians, it's important for us that we embrace the Word of God and the Scripture, that we come to the Lord's house every Sunday and Wednesday with the motive that we're going to serve Christ and other people. That we are coming to church not just so that we might get, but that we might give. That we might lay our lives down one for another, even the undeserving, for the glory of God. You study the ministry and life of the Lord Jesus. Nowhere do you find him isolated and introverted. In fact, Jesus was the perfect example of hospitality. I'll explain as we go on this evening that hospitality is, in its own unique way, a gospel portrait. But in Matthew chapter 9, verses 10 and 11, it tells us that it happened that as Jesus was reclining at the table in the house, behold, many tax collectors and sinners came, and they were dining with Jesus and his disciples. It says that as the Pharisees saw this, they said to the disciples, "Why is your teacher eating with tax collectors and sinners?" The answer to that is that he was being hospitable. Go back to the Old Testament pages in the lives of the patriarchs, and you study the life of Job, this great man of God that God testifies in verse 8 of chapter 1. "Have you considered my servant Job? There is no one like him on earth, a blameless and upright man, fearing God and turning away from evil." God calls him blameless and upright, but listen to Job's testimony of his own life. In Job 31, 32, "The alien has not lodged outside, for I have opened my doors to the traveler." This godly man was a hospitable man, pursuing literally hospitality. The early church in the book of Acts is literally filled with images of the church operating in the grace of hospitality in Acts 4, 32 and 3. And the congregation of those who believed were of one heart and soul. And not one of them claimed that anything that belonged to him was his own, but all things were common property to them. And with great power, the apostles were giving testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And abundant grace was upon all of them. Again in chapter 2, verses 46 and 7, day to day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. In the early church, hospitality was so common and even critical that those who refused to practice hospitality were confronted by the apostles. You find that in 3 John 9 and 10 with Diotrephes. It says, I wrote something, John says, to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to be first among them, does not accept what we say. For this reason, if I come, I will call attention to his deeds, which he does, unjustly accusing us with wicked words. Listen to this. And not satisfied with this, he does not receive the brethren either, and he forbids those who desire to do so and puts them out of the church. In the early church, as letters were being written, people, godly men and women, would travel long distances through dangerous territory to take those letters to the churches. And that other believers, because there were no motels in those days, well, other than the ones that were used for prostitution, for them to stay in that, so it was greatly encouraged for the saints to care one for the other. And so if you have someone that's traveled 200 miles on foot to bring a letter written from an apostle, the church, well, it was incumbent upon them to care for all of his needs or hers. So the early church was caring for the brothers and sisters in their homes and practicing hospitality. But here we see in 3 John that this wolf by the name of Diotrephes had crept into the church and that he would not receive the brothers or show hospitality. In fact, he forbid others in the church from receiving them. I mean, what a wicked and perverse man was this Diotrephes. John had purposed to confront him and to deal with his wicked heart. The text that I just read tonight, verses 9 through 13, is the practical outworking of 11 chapters of doctrine that Paul had written to the believers in Rome. Chapters 12 through 16 are the practical application of the doctrine. He's now penned in verses 3 through 8 the use of spiritual gifts within the church. And beginning with verse 9, I read in my text momentarily ago that Paul is giving these truths that ought to be practiced in every church by every believer. That means all of us. So I don't have the gift of hospitality. Well, you're not saved then. These are gifts that all of us have, like love. Universal graces that are evident in the lives of those that are apprehended by the Spirit of God. I say all that, that a church that is striving to be biblical must indeed be doctrinal, but we also must be obediently practical. Using the gifts God has given to us, but yet also applying every word of the Lord to our life. And to be faithful in the application of Scripture to our lives. Understanding that hospitality is not a gift that ought to be lagging behind in a local church. The entire New Testament is filled with reminders to be hospitable. Even so much that the Scripture forbids a man from even being able to be qualified as an elder if he's not practicing hospitality. If I am not a hospitable man, I cannot be an elder. I can't pastor. So it's utterly important for us at Grace Life Prior if we're to be a healthy church, and we're striving to be, right? Striving, reforming, always reforming, to be committed to this ministry of hospitality if we are to honor Jesus in this church. Our first point tonight is just a simple definition The English word hospitality comes from a Greek word which gives the idea, it's a compound word, quite frankly, that gives the idea of practical kindness paid especially to strangers in the sharing of food, drink, lodging, and provision. It is indeed a compound word. Phileo denotes what? Love, right? Love towards people, the people of God. It's a love that we express between members of the body of Christ. But the word also has a root, xenos, which has the idea of being a stranger. Combining that, it would mean that we are to have brotherly love for strangers. Marvin Vincent, a Greek expert, says hospitality is not only to be furnished when sought, he says, but Christians are to seek opportunities to exercise it. A.T. Robertson, Greek scholar, says, pursuing or chasing hospitality, fond of strangers and pursuing them that they might be hospitable to them. Kenneth Voost, hospitable, generous to guests, a necessary injunction when many Christians were banished and persecuted. It refers to the giving of food, clothing, shelter to Christians who are persecuted, who have lost these items due to their testimony of Christ. The Webster's 1828 dictionary says that hospitality is the act or practice of receiving and entertaining strangers or guests without reward or with kind and generous liberality. So clearly stated in the definition of what it is to be hospitable, that it's the exercise and the application of love towards one another, especially strangers. It can mean spiritual provision. It can mean physical provision, and it can mean also social provision. Let me consider for a moment the necessity of this hospitality. Hospitality is nothing other than a manifestation of love, isn't it? That we're hospitable because we love. That we are God's people, and He is love, and He shed that into our hearts by the Spirit of God. But it's necessary because we've been called of God to help those that are in need. But yet in the context of the local church, it is necessary that you and I as Christians might apply hospitality. Why? Because we're the hands and the feet of Jesus. We're the body of Christ on earth. We're the outpost of heaven in a foreign land. And as we're considering the necessity of hospitality, we have to ask the question, why? Well, number one, Scripture demands it, right? Look at verse 13. It says, contributing to the needs of the saints and practicing, which literally in the Greek means to pursue. I'll explain that more in a moment. Pursuing hospitality. The Bible demands that we be hospitable people. Hebrews 13:2. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers. For by this, some have entertained angels without knowing it. 1 Peter 4:9, be hospitable one to another without complaining. First Timothy 5:10, with regard to widows that were being put on the list for the church to care for their needs, they had to qualify. And one of the qualifications of a widow, if they're to be put on the list, is that she has shown hospitality. Let me read that to you. A widow is to be put on the list only if she is not less than 60 years old, having been the wife of one man, having a reputation for good works, if she has brought up children, if she has shown hospitality to strangers, if she's washed the feet of the saints, assisted those in distress, and devoted herself to every good work. Hospitality to strangers. If she's not been hospitable to strangers, she can't even qualify to be on the list of support with the local church to care for her needs. I'm arguing and pointing out that this is a truth that permeates the Bible. It's rarely, if ever, talked about in church. It's in the Old Testament. It's also in the New Testament. This really sunk into me as I was studying this week, that on the road to Emmaus, there were two disciples that were walking and discoursing with Jesus, although they did not know who He was. He prevented them from seeing who He was. They saw Him as a stranger, And they, listen, they offered him to come and to stay in their home and to have a meal with them. They offered hospitality to the Lord Jesus Christ. And oh, by the way, whenever he went to the house to accept on hospitality, he opened their eyes to see who he was. Let me read this. Luke 24, 28 to 30. And they approached the village where they were going, and he acted as though he were going further. But they urged him, saying, "Stay with us, for it is getting toward evening, and the day is now nearly over." So he went in to stay with them. When he had reclined at the table with them, he took bread and he blessed it, and breaking it, he began giving it to them. And then you read in verse 31, and he opened their eyes to see who he was. Practicing hospitality. It's not hard to see this on the pages of Scripture. It's hard not to see this on the pages of Scripture. Go and start with chapter 1 of the book of Acts and underscore all the places where hospitality is being insinuated or shown, and your whole book will be underscored. Hospitality is simply putting love into action by showing kindness and giving provision, especially to strangers. The second thing I want to talk about is that hospitality is necessary because Scripture demands it, but also culture resists it. You're living in a wicked, cruel culture that's dog eat dog. The world, and as I say that, I want you to understand when I say the world, I'm meaning the fallen system that is under the curse of sin. The world is inherently selfish. And the culture that you and I live in is increasingly suspicious and unkind. The world and the citizens of the world are not opening their homes, nor are they opening their hearts. They're closing them. The world is not inviting guests into their home with warmth and love. The world is not selflessly serving the undeserving. 1 John 2:16 says that all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but it is from the world. Those are all selfish acts. Those are all roadblocks to hospitality. Those are all antithesis of hospitality. So every desire of the fallen man is self-focused and driven. And even if they do have some semblance of acts that could be discernible as hospitable, they're driven by selfish, wicked motives, and the end of it will become ruin. And those that possibly are offering some self-service to help those in need, if they don't meet their expectation, they cut off the hospitality. Grace Life, we cannot expect the devilish culture to which you and I, in which you and I live, to selflessly care for the needs of those that are hurting. It's simply put, they just don't have the capacity for it. And because of this, there's a great need in culture for hospitality. And sadly, the world has crept into the church in so much that we're mimicking them, and the church has closed up the bowels of compassion towards those that are in need. Hospitality has been all disappeared from the modern evangelical church, and because of that, our glory has been dulled, our witness has been harmed, and our evangelism has been weakened. The church is to be a gospel refuge. The power of the gospel should transform each one of us into servants, even hospitable servants. Hospitable saints, in other words. And if the gospel has not affected us, if it has not overthrown our selfishness, the gospel has not affected us at all. The power of the gospel produces hospitable saints. And again, I'm arguing the point that the world that you and I live in is in desperate need of the church to be the church. And that every member of Grace Life Prior should be in pursuit of hospitality because the Lord has called us to it. Our hearts ought to be overflowing with love that overreaches into the lives of others, even the undeserving. And that overreach is called hospitality. The need of it is tremendous. The grace of it is promised. The Scripture demands it, our culture resists it, And thirdly, quite frankly, people respond to it. Romans 15:7 says, therefore, accept one another just as Christ also accepted us to the glory of God. I talked about the gospel picture that hospitality portrays. The gospel picture is that God has made a generous provision for your and my deepest need. We've been brought into the family of God by the purchase price of the blood of Jesus. He's brought us in where we have formerly been orphans, and he's adopted us and called us his own dear children. We were inadequate, unable to pay, unable to reconcile ourselves. We were dirty and filthy, and he called us out anyway. Demonstrated the most glorious sense of what true hospitality is. Jesus demonstrated hospitality, and he brought us in, meeting our need. So there is, in fact, a gospel picture whenever we're hospitable. We're giving out of what we've been given. We're meeting needs at every level in the church. Extending love where the world has extended nothing other than alienation. There's such a vast need in the world in which we live, and the church should not shut up the bowels of her compassion. That there should be a unique identification with others whenever we open our hearts, whenever we open our homes, whenever we share love, encouragement, and truth, and even a meal. And by the way, there's also a huge need even in our own church. Every week we have new faces that are coming in and gracing our doors. We can't see the need. It's inward and hidden. But it's there. There's a need to be loved. There's a need to talk to someone. There's a need to be listened to. A need to be valued. There's a need to receive affection. Some people are alone, afraid, and you and I, as God's dear people, have an opportunity to serve them. And by the way, there's not enough pastors in this local church to go around to meet all the need. The body is to be the need meter. The body is to reach out. The body is to show hospitality. The body is to see the need, heed the command, lose their lives, follow Christ, and meet that need by being hospitable. Caring for the needs of the stranger, caring for the needs one of another. The third truth I want to point out is the application. It's incumbent upon all of us to apply biblical truth, right? Be therefore doers of the word, not just hearers only, James 1:22. Jesus says, those who hear my words and act on them, I will liken to a man that builds his house upon a solid foundation, and the winds blow and the waves crash against that house, and it is not even moved, for it is founded upon the rock. Matthew chapter 7, 24 to 7. So whenever we apply the truth of the word of God, it glorifies God and it strengthens the church. And the teaching of hospitality in Scripture is not a suggestion, nor a multiple choice, nor an inference. It's commanded of God. It is to be part and parcel of the Christian life. So how do we apply this grace, this high calling, to everyday life? How can you, as a believer or a member or a visitor of Grace Life Church, begin to practice hospitality because you are a believer, because you're a Christian? The first thing I want you to understand fundamentally is that this is a lifestyle for us. This is to become a lifestyle. We're not simply to adopt this truth for a month and then go back to our quiet little carefree lives. That the Christian life itself is a life of sacrificial service. Losing your life, laying it down, denying yourself, bearing your cross. It's a demonstration of the supremacy of Christ in you. This truth of hospitality must not only become something that we acknowledge in our mind, but yet the pursuit and the passion of our hearts. It says in our text, practicing diako. Hospitality, it literally means to follow with haste and intensity of effort. It literally means to chase after. It means to pursue. It doesn't say if it suits your lifestyle. It doesn't say if it fits your personality. It doesn't say for outgoing personalities only, and for introverts, it's non-applicable. That's not what it says. It says for every believer, be pursuing hospitality. Just like evangelism, it's not optional for us. Hospitality is not optional for any believer. So I'm just kind of one of them Christians that's to myself. Well, you're just kind of one of those people that think they're Christian and are not a Christian. You're deceived if you think that you can live separate from the body of Christ, isolated, selfish, in the own casket of your own wicked, perverse selfishness, and not be giving out whenever you've been given so much freely in Christ. It's not a personality strength or weakness. It's an obedience matter. Let me give some practical areas where we practice this grace. The first is that we can practice this grace in the worship service. Oh, Pastor, that ain't biblical. Quite frankly, it's very biblical. Hebrews 10:25 says, not forsaking the assembling together as some is in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Parakaleo, encouraging one another, consoling, comforting, strengthening, exhorting one another. Literally, it is the practice of hospitality that you're meeting together to the end and for the purpose, oh, we're going to go hear a great sermon. No, that's not the whole thing. Did you come to Grace Life tonight thinking in these terms, I'm coming because I'm a child of God and I've been called to be hospitable and somebody's going to walk in those doors that I can encourage, that I can parakaleo, that I can encourage and strengthen and edify and build them up? This is written to the church. The members of the church are being challenged. The previous verse says that we're to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. But the goal is hospitality. Sure, it's good we come and hear the Word of God exposited. Yes, preach the Word in season and out. We get that. It's necessary that we preach the Word of God, but that's not the total sum of what the Lord calls us to as a church. We're exhorted to come together and to worship and encourage one another, to come alongside your brothers and sisters and to speak a word to them that encourages them, to build them up, to show hospitality to them, to meet their need, to listen to their sorrows, to cry tears of empathy with them, to have them into your home, to let the guard down, and to become a family. So when we come together, we come to worship, but we're also coming together to engage people. We're coming that we might meet visitors. We're coming that we might confront or to comfort believers or to comfort those that are in need, to love them, to be hospitable to them. And we have a biblical mandate to practice kindness, to show hospitality, Hebrews 13:2, even to strangers. That means that we've got to go to them, that we've got to talk to them, we've got to shake their hand, engage them in conversation. That literally means, in the original language, we pursue and initiate opportunity to have them into our homes, to share a meal. This is a very consistent portrait in the Bible. To extend God's love to them. That includes inviting them into our homes. Maybe the shut-ins, that we go to their homes and visit them. And especially when new people come and visit Grace Life Church, that we go to them and exercise hospitality. It's not easy for them to come through those doors, you know. Some may have been back and forth before they ever got in the doors as to whether or not they would even come or not. There may have been all kinds of warfare before they even got to the front porch, before they ever got to Rick Skinner and the entryway. There are people that come in that have had bad experiences in church. Some have felt that they've been unloved in churches. Neglected. Maybe someone's coming in here, maybe they've lost a loved one, and that they don't know anyone that cares for them. And how dare they come into a church that's so selfish that we don't go and love on them and be hospitable and to care for them in their time of loss, grief, and need. And by the way, in the context of hospitality, Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of these brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it to me." The context of Matthew 25 is hospitality. He speaks of feeding people that are hungry. He speaks of giving people a drink that are thirsty. He speaks of clothing the naked, inviting the stranger. And what is that? It's called hospitality. The Bible calls for you and I to engage strangers. It's Christ-like to invite them into our homes. It's Christ-like and it's godly to sit next to a visitor that you don't know to make them feel welcome. To have them out for lunch or into your home after the service to get to know them, to hear their life story. Nobody wants to visit a church that's cold and unfriendly. Like the one we went to, Cole, where you at? In Seattle. I've never felt more unwanted in my life. I felt like I was being spied on by an enemy. A reformed church. I think we're the worst, quite frankly. I'm not saying us, but I'm saying in the reformed community. Listen, if we are indifferent to strangers, the Bible calls us to repentance. We are to take the word of the God seriously and to serve those in the Lord's church that have need. Meaning that when we come together on Sunday, when we come together on Wednesday, that we should have our hearts fixed upon and already pre-planned and thought about and have a sense of intention that we're going to meet the needs of the people of God and encourage them as we're assembling. To come alongside of them and to meet their need as hospitable believers. I mean, seriously, when you go to Matthew 25, 40, serving them is tantamount to serving Christ. When you've done it to the least of one of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. When you serve their needs, you're serving mine. You're like, well, Jesus doesn't have any needs. There were women that provided his food for him whenever he was ministering. They took care of his outward physical needs. He was fully man in his condescension. That means as a body of believers, we as Grace Life Church should be warmly welcoming visitors. Every member of Grace Life Church, including our little children. Where's Dorothy? Dorothy's fixing to be baptized and to come into membership. Is that right, sister? Very soon. It'll be incumbent upon you to come to church. How can I serve? Right? No visitor should leave Grace Life Church feeling that they're out of place. No visitor should leave Grace Life Church to feel like they are unloved or unwanted. We're privileged and graced and blessed to warmly welcome, to graciously serve them as though Jesus Christ walked right in those doors. Would you have any problems having Jesus over for lunch? Stacy cooked a roast. The second truth is that hospitality must always be practiced also, not only in the worship service, but in our homes, in our lives personally. Our homes are to be viewed as though they are gospel outposts. This home has a mission, right? That God has graciously blessed us with homes. We can use those homes for the glory of God and the advance of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you and I must be biblical and reorient our mind to think along scriptural lines. What a powerful tool it is for God to bless us with a home. That we might use that for his glory, that we might show hospitality to those who come to Grace Life Church or those that are in need in life. I read the passage earlier in Acts 2:46. The early church was meeting from house to house for food and fellowship. The two disciples, they're walking with Jesus on the road to Emmaus. They say, hey, come over. We'll give you something to eat and a place to sleep. They had no idea it was Jesus. Just a traveler in need. In the Old Testament, in Genesis 19, 2 and 3, Lot invited two angels into his home for refuge. Abraham in Genesis 18, 2 through 8, and also verse 16, was practicing hospitality to strangers by providing food and water and having his wife cook to serve them. Homes are special places where love abounds. They're special graced places where fellowship can flourish. We can listen there in the context of the home to struggles that people are having, and we can pray with them there that God might grant relief. We can share a meal and open up our hearts and listen as they open up their hearts to talk about what's going on in the context of the common bond of Christ. It's in the home that there's a non-threatening environment that a sinner can feel love, or maybe a saint in desperation can see and feel the love of Christ and the gospel in the lives of his people that have been reborn by the Spirit. And by the way, your home is under the jurisdiction of the sovereignty of God. He owns it, not you. It's lent to you. You say, wait a minute, pal, I'm making the payment. God gave you a job. God gave you strength. God gave you gifts. God gave you skill. It's His. You're a pauper. You ain't got nothing, Jack. Neither do I. It's His. It's His. So we're to be using them for the glory of God. Well, my home's not nice enough. Excuse. My home's not big enough. Excuse. You realize the early churches, they're meeting from house to house, are living in little stone huts, right? Sitting on the floor, on the ground, and joyfully so doing. There's not a one of us in this building tonight that lives in the primitive conditions they lived in and they were hospitable. It's a matter of the heart, not a matter of the circumstance. But you think about this in the context of the home, people let their guards down. People's ears become more receptive on the inside of a home. In fact, inside of a home, a relationship will build and a conversation will flourish in a way that is far more superior than other environments, even a restaurant, because a home has privacy. The home has an exclusive audience. The home has warmth. Personality written on the walls with family portraits and inviting decoration and kindness extended that you don't have even in a restaurant. It's there in the context of a home that's sharing together a meal where we can encourage one another and friendships can be built and families and lives can bond and hospitality can be fostered in the home. So hospitality and homes go hand in hand. But it takes purpose. We have to purpose to make our homes gospel-centered. It takes purpose that your home become a gospel outpost. It takes intentionality. You got to have an intention to do it. You have to begin to think in terms of who can I minister to this week? Who can I have over this Sunday? That means on Saturday you are thinking forward and you're planning and preparing and you're running to Walmart or Aldi's. So I don't have the money. Does it take much money to buy a big old wad of spaghetti and some sauce? And we all like it. You know that. Does it take much money to get a little bit of iced tea brewed up? And it's not the quality of the food anyway. It's the quality of the love shown to other people. But you have to be thinking forward if you're going to plan. These are opportunities that we've got to seize upon. These are opportunities, it says in our text here in verse 13, that we must pursue. Pursuing, practicing hospitality. Who can I minister to this week? Who can I call? Who can I have over? And then take the time to care. Take the time to listen. Take the time to deny yourself and to put someone else first. It's so like Jesus, right? Lastly, we need to practice hospitality even in the community. In the strictest of the definitions, the word hospitality here means that we're to show kindness and to provide need to strangers. People you don't know. Listen, we have neighborhoods that surround us that need Christ, don't we? Neighbors that are bereft of genuine love and concern by the culture in which they live. Nobody cares about your neighbor except you. We have neighbors that need the gospel. We have neighbors that need genuine love that ought to be radiating from us as believers. Monday, Stacy and I were on the road. We were listening to a speech. Well, actually, she was reading it from Rosaria Butterfield, or Rosaria, however you would say that. She was speaking to the National Ligonier Conference. She was talking about a neighbor that she had in particular. He was very introverted and very, very weird. And they were the only people in the whole neighborhood of around 300 people that even tried to talk to this dude. Come to find out, he had a meth lab in his house. I mean, after the feds come and bust the joint, guess what? They go to the jail and minister to the guy, write him, pray for him, and continue to show love. And guess what? Now the whole neighborhood don't want anything to do with them. Being hospitable. But here's how they fixed and remedied that. And I'm not suggesting this because this is kind of wild. They put posters up and went to homes of all 300 people in their neighborhood, invited them all over to their house, and they bought Bibles for everybody and fed the whole neighborhood. They do that yearly. 300 people. And I'm not saying that's what you're supposed to do as far as in that example, but what I'm just simply asking is consider how can you become hospitable to your community and to your neighborhood and to the culture in which you live and to begin to engage and to show this hospitality. How can I impact my community by being hospitable? How can I show kindness? How can I show encouragement? How can I meet needs? And how can I share the gospel? How can I pursue what God commands me to pursue? It's such a little verse, I'm afraid we've missed it. It's tagged on to the end of verse 13, hiding in the text. Practice, pursue hospitality. It's there. It's in Hebrews. It's all through the Bible. And I'm afraid the American church has become so self-focused, our eyes fall blindly upon that text. And our lives certainly testify that this text has not impacted us the way that it could. So how can you impact your community? Now listen, here's what I'm not asking. I'm not asking for you to get a game plan and to take it to my office and say, here go, Pastor, get going on it. You're looking over there, Pastor, because you know that's going to happen. Oh, Pastor, I got this great idea. We can do this, 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 and this. And they write it all down. They hand it to me and they say, now get it going. You know what I'm going to say to you? You get it going. Verse 13 is written to us, not me. Sure, I'll do my part. But the body's called to be a body. John Piper said, when we practice hospitality, here's what happens. We experience the refreshing joy of becoming conduits of God's hospitality rather than being self-decaying cul-de-sacs. The joy of receiving God's hospitality decays and dies if it doesn't flourish in our own hospitality to other people. I don't want to be a decaying, dying cul-de-sac. Oh God, cultivate this hospitality in me. Grace Life Church needs to become the most hospitable church in Northeast Oklahoma. It ought to be our epitaph. It ought to be on Facebook that Grace Life Church is a hospitable people. Listen, they may not agree with the doctrines of grace, but they can't disagree with our love. It'll fuel and empower our witness for the gospel of Jesus Christ. It'll further our divine call to win the lost of saving faith in Christ. It'll satisfy our hearts with true joy. It'll graciously cultivate happiness in us. Because joy withers in selfishness and it abounds in self-denial. So let me just ask this quickly and I'll be done. How can we implement this? How can I implement this in my life? How can I take a step in this direction? Man, if somebody comes in, I don't know Sunday, I'm tackling them, man. I'm going straight to them. They're mine. And let's be kind, but genuine, welcoming, loving, inviting, opening our homes, opening our hearts, opening our love, remembering that when we've done it to the least of one of these, my brethren, we've done it unto Christ. Lord, help us to be this kind of a church, a hospitable church. Help us to do it for your namesake and for your glory. Lord, be with us as we depart. May the Holy Spirit take this truth and drive it home. May our hearts be joyfully intentional as we begin from this moment forward in a lifestyle of hospitality. Equip us, enable us, bring the right people providentially to us. And Lord, may we remember that we are the tender hands and feet of our Savior to serve in the context of the church. Bless us now. Work in us while we can't work in ourselves. Give us a heart and a burden for this love, this hospitality. And may we be a blessing to many, many people. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.